You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 277. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we have a few things for you. None of them really have anything to do with the Star Trek card game. Sorry. we have a tournament coming up this weekend that I'm hoping to go to. Fingers crossed. It'll be a two-week tournament, so we'll see how that goes. We have, I guess, some peripheral Star Trek CCG talk probably at the end of our discussion of the animated series, since we usually try to think about a card or something. This weekend, though, we decided to, there was a card tournament of a different sort. So you had mentioned last week that you were going to try to get together enough people for a pre-release event for the other card game that you play, the My Little Pony card game, right?
That is correct. We registered with, the Villainous Lair. In South Park, North Park, actually it's more like City Heights, San Diego, Normal Heights. And yes, we had little pins to give away, and we had lots of packs for the sealed deck event, and for prizes, and starter decks, and posters. And I was really hoping, I cross-posted on a couple of pony fan sites and such, hoping to get some more interest going locally. Unfortunately, I did not, because I was out of town last weekend, and then the shop was closed on Monday when I was prepared to go by and drop off physical flyers. And then after that, I just completely forgot. So I don't know if they ever publicized it the way they said they would. I didn't really look on their social media or if they put it on their calendar. I showed up, and they had the box for me, which was great. So, they actually ordered two kits, so we had enough for 24 people, which was a little bit of overkill. I wish they had gone ahead and gotten one kit, because then we could have said that we had at least used half of it.
So the kit, did they put it? So how does it work with prize support for this company? Did they have to put in money to buy the kit from them? Or what?
Yes. So the way, at least for the pre-release, I don't know about normal tournaments, but for this event, I had to convince the store to apply to run the pre-release. And they had there was a Google form that they went and filled out. And then when they completed that, they received a link back to the company's website to order the pre-release kit, and then they got a discount code, and that you can try to, like, if you somehow manage to get the link to it, which their marketing guy sent me so I could have the info to tell my store when I was trying to convince them to apply for one. Apparently you can go and look at it and try to order it, and then if you're not a store, they'll just cancel your order. But it's pretty cool. It's a good deal, and you know, the store gets a decent discount on it to encourage them to, you know, and then they basically get retail for the packs to encourage them to run it. And so they did. They went ahead and applied, and they actually got two kits, as I mentioned. And then once they received confirmation that they were going to have the event, it got added to the Google map that the Facebook page manages from the company of all the pre-releases. You'll note in all of this, there is not a mention of the company's organized play or tournament page of any kind, because they don't have one.
Wow, they use Facebook for all of their organized play updates and events and information?
Yeah. They have a store page, because that's really all they care about, is selling their product. And then they have all of their promotion is done through Tumblr and Facebook. So it's really tough to get an idea of how to deal with their organized play. So I'm really thankful to you and to everybody else in our local play group who came out and played, since I sort of loudly finger mashed on our local play groups that this is happening if anyone wants to come. So we have numbers that will, you know, at least tell them that some people are playing and that maybe they can do this again next time. So that was nice. There were actually some people while we were playing there who were kind of checking it out and, you know, looking to see what was going on and seemed interested. So hopefully that means that we'll get some more people. I did tell the store, the people there, that you guys who came had a good time, and we were talking about trying to do it like maybe monthly. Mm-hmm. And they seemed interested in that. So I emailed the manager who wasn't there on Sunday and mentioned that. So hopefully this will be the beginning of a little bit of some organized play that we can get going. Now, you only had a sort of a cursory experience with this that we kind of mocked briefly because of your reticence towards playing. How did you enjoy it from a purely game mechanic experience?
You know, it's funny because I was thinking about taking all the cards that I would use, right, and then just putting different pictures on them all. You know, just cutting up some magic cards and putting those pictures on top of all the whatever they are. And just so it wouldn't be the same thing. From a purely mechanics point of view, I found that it was very difficult to make a deck that was playable based on what I got in the sealed deck. And now it sounds like I was alone in that. I think I was, because everyone else was playing two colors. I was only playing one color. Once I switched from two colors to one color, the games went a lot better, for sure. I mean, no
really?
Doubt. So in this game, kind of like the old Wars game, right? In order to play certain affiliations, you have to spot those affiliations already in play, right? With Wars, they did it with sites. Like, you know, Star Wars style Force icons or whatever.
Right.
In this game, you've got your characters, and the characters have that icon, and some of them require that icon to play it, some of them don't. Some are like, in Magic, I guess you would have mana dorks, they call them, or you play them, and they generate different kinds of mana, so you can do other things with them. Well, there were a bunch of these no-spot drops in every color, and in order to play the good characters, right, you have to have a few of these no spot drops. Would you agree?
Yes, okay. That is accurate.
I got about two of every color for a 30 card deck. I was talking to Matt, who was playing a two colors. He was able to, all right, that's just annoying. He was able to put in about four of them for his off color. You get one color because you start out with somebody in play, so that provides a little bit of color spot. But so four is much better than two. I would still feel not comfortable playing with four, but you do get a mulligan, so hopefully you'd be able to draw into one early. But two was I by the end of my first game, I had a handful of orange. I was able to play all the yellow cards and made it close, but I had a bunch of cards in my hand I couldn't play. So it was like that's awful. That's pretty poor. I would hope in a sealed event that you would have access to generic no spot drop guys, just to make it possible to play a second color, because I couldn't do it.
There are a handful of what they're called resource cards that, you know, like an event that you drop on the table once and say blue. And you have blue that turn.
Yeah.
And you and I seem to be the only people who didn't get these cards.
Yeah.
Because I saw lots of other people playing them. That is definitely something like one or two of those on top of, you know, whatever proxy main that you start with would be good to just hand out at the beginning of these events.
But, you know, at the end, like I said, in my last two games, I was playing with just a single color. And it was working fine. I mean, I didn't have access to some of the power rares that were multicolors that I got, and just, like, I can't play with this. It's gone. I didn't get access to a couple of the... a lot of the rares that I had were in colors that I just didn't have enough cards to play with. I think I went with yellow because I had a rare character, and I think I had a rare interrupt or something. I figured, all right, well, that's good enough. I packed the rest with dilemmas, and it was the third game before we realized that the calling them dilemmas is not quite true, because you don't ever face your own card. So I was really reluctant to play any because I figured, oh, God, I'm going to have to face this later. And so I didn't play any for the first game and a half, and was like, oh, all right, well, that's different. So that was probably not the best
So I probably should have given you the demo as well before we started instead of just Cordelia.
Well, yeah, because we just the demo you gave. So that's the other thing. The reason I allowed myself to go to this event is because I brought my daughter so she could play. This is her first card game, her first card tournament. She had a great time. We played a simplified version of the game, you know, with her. I don't think anybody. When I built her decks, it was just it'd be like for Star Trek, it'd be all characters. All personnel and ships, and that's it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
All the dilemmas would be, you know, random attrition, and they would all be dual. It's just as simple, simple as possible, right? So we didn't make it very complicated. So that meant the demo that I got was super not complicated. So I didn't, you know, we didn't talk about the troublemakers. Is that what the dilemmas are called?
Yes.
Correctly? Yeah. So there was that. There was another thing about not evening up at the end of your opponent's turn. There were a couple of things that I think cost me the game against Matt. But mechanics-wise, I found that the game is very, at least in the sealed deck environment, it felt very swingy. Like there's a pendulum, and it goes to me, and then it goes to you, and then it goes back to me. And whenever the game ends, whoever's got the ball, you got it. I felt like if the turns end quickly, I can get back right in this, and then if I'm in the lead, I think, okay, I got to do is hang on until time runs out or this is over. I didn't feel like there was that much control of what I was playing, but that's probably because we weren't, at least me, I didn't have a lot of events and interrupts and things to take control and have a control deck.
Sure.
There were a couple of, tribe powers that were just obnoxious. The yellow had this, when you play a guy, they are pretty much a zero until next turn. And the pink had, while you attempt this mission, your opponent gets to draw an extra and spend an extra on dilemmas, indefinitely. And start counting at zero, because, you know, you always get at least one. It was, every time I brought more people there, they brought more people there, and my attempt to go up just went higher and higher, and it was stupid. I didn't like that at all. And I can only imagine, as little as I saw it in the sealed deck, in the actual environment where you can build a deck around it, that would make me want to flip a table and, you know, just walk away, because that was awful. On the whole, I mean, I had a pretty good time. I didn't get any foils like everyone else, including my daughter, who got two. I got nothing, so that made me sad. And at the end of the day, I had to play, you know, a sixth of all my cards instead of 2/6 like most folks did. So, you know, it was kind of disappointing overall. But that said, the girl had a fantastic time. She played against Charlie in the first round, and Charlie was kind of, after you had played a demo game with her, Charlie was kind of showing her how to play, and, you know, she was kind of learning what the cards do and how to play, and I think by the time was up, she had more points than Charlie did, so Charlie said, okay, she won. And then she played against you, and you can go into more detail, but it sounded like you were helping her in the beginning, and then at the end, she kind of just ran away faster than you can run away with it. So, would you disagree?
No, that's about right. She, we were choosing the starting problems, and I had been... There was one that was really almost all the starting problems in the game are usually like one color and one of not that color, or two and two. And there was a new one in this set that was, you know, eight of anything.
Yep.
And your opponent needs 10 of anything. So it's like, I'll throw that in. That'll be interesting. And Cordelia had two starting problems, and one was smaller. And she's like, well, I did this one last time, so I'm going to try this one. And it was that one, that big one. All and right. I couldn't get enough. Like, I would have had points if we had had a smaller problem, but I got a couple people out. I couldn't. She took a long time to build stuff up. So she didn't. It was really late before she scored points. But she scored a bunch at once. And my main is when your opponent has more points than you, you get to flip and score points. So I couldn't flip because she was taking her time, which was smart. And I couldn't. I had a couple of my on color, but I had like five out of my seven cards were off color. And I had no entry. And so all of them were just needed one spot. Like, mm-hmm. all I need is one spot. And so I was, like, drawing, taking counters, and I was spending counters, drawing more cards and discarding more cards. And I just, I was like, all right, yeah, good for you. You go do that. And now I can't. Okay, I guess you're going to go do that. Charlie said, it's not so much that he was going easy on her, but he was trying to play the same game she was. So we basically said, okay, we're not going to play no verbs and text. We're going characters and numbers. Except that he did start teaching her a few of the things, and she remembered, which was highly disturbing. Like you were saying, some of the powers, the pink tribal power is while this personnel is there, your opponent needs +1 to complete the problem. And so he had taught her that at the end, to give her a little bit of an advantage. And she dropped that, in the middle. And he was like, oh, and this guy's here, so you have to have one more pony to do this. oh, really? Okay, that's good to know. A little disturbed that you know that. And then I played one, and she's like, oh, now I have to have one, too. That guy has the same thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, like attack. I came on late and I managed to score some points, but she had too much for me to catch up. And by the time we cycled, time ran out. So, yeah.
Yeah. So in my game, I was off to an early lead and I was not going to give her any advantage because she had already beaten, you and Charlie. And, kids need to learn that it's okay to lose every once in a while. So I was not pulling any punches and I took an early lead. And like I said, the pendulum swung back her way and she moved all our troops out and took over two problems. And I'm like, man, she's gotten right back in this. And then jumped up to 13 points. And I looked over and we flipped. I got the 13 on my turn. And like, okay, that's it. I'm, one more problem and I'm done. And I flipped over my problem and it was a 2-point bonus thing. And she was at like 12. So all she had to do was walk her horses out there and say, look, it's mine. I get my bonus. I can solve this and I get 3 points. And the game was over, and I'm just sitting here like, you gotta be kidding me. Since I did build that deck, it wouldn't be a game without me losing to my own deck, so there you go. So Cordelia went undefeated and was quite excited and talked nothing about about the game all the way home and about all the cards she played with and what she couldn't wait to open up her Applejack starter, and it turned out there was a different horse in there, somebody else, some kind of crazy pony with eyes that go in different directions.
That's Derpy.
Yeah.
Unofficially, her name is Derpy. I believe that one is Muffin Mare.
Yeah, something like that. I was wondering if that was the not mentally all there pony, but yes, that confirms it. So that sounds like it'd be fun. So we have, since I was injured at last week's softball game, I suddenly have Tuesday free. So we are going to rebuild decks based on, whatever. Now she can play whatever she wants because we've got twice as many cards plus a couple of packs.
Sure.
So she'll be able to build whatever she wants, and I'll build something, and, since she's building the deck, I might be able to beat her. We'll see how it goes.
Well, you know, that's the next step. You learn how to play, and then you learn how to build your deck, and you get to find out just how hard the before part is.
Yeah, I think we'll probably stick with the same as before, no verbs. We'll just go with the we'll probably use the text on the characters because that's easy. And
sure.
You know, there's keywords that you can learn to recognize, and it shouldn't be too bad. We'll do that. I don't know, as I mentioned earlier in the game, you know, $35 is not bad unless you have to pay for two people, and then it becomes a lot to do all often. So, I understand you did that as well, right?
I did that as well. So I do sympathize. If it makes you feel better, which may help you recoup some of that, the pre-release foil that you got two of, it should probably help you recoup some of that. So if you don't care about those, you can throw those up on eBay. And I was going to do that with one of mine just so, because I offered to sponsor a new player if anybody wanted to come and try it and they could see if they liked it. And then they could, if they did like it, they could pay and keep their cards. And if they didn't like it, I would spot and cover for that. We didn't have anybody who wanted to do that, but Matt did offer to come to play to fill out numbers, so I went ahead and did that. And he got the best pull of everyone, as it turns out.
Yeah, didn't he get an ultra rare foil or something like that?
He got an ultra rare foil that worked with all of the other cards. Like he got, there was a cycle of theme cards that all seemed to work together called Pony Tones, from an episode where there's like an a cappella singing group from the Ponies.
Well, that makes
which
sense.
If you know Matt, that's hilarious because, you know, he's a musician and he's a singer and you know, so he got one pony tone that lets you download any other Pony Tone, so he pulled out his ultra rare right away, and the ultra rare one was like a drop, you know, as you play it, immediate what was that called in Star Wars? Wasn't there a thing like if you were going to drain you could react?
Oh yeah,
over, yeah, so you could drop her as a react.
Wow.
You know, in the middle of a fight, man, and when you did, he got to look at your hand and make you discard a card.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was crazy. That was really good. The only reason I beat him was because we timed out as I got my ultra rare, which let me take control of one of your ponies.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's pretty rough.
Yeah. So it was like, you played that guy over there, and I'll play this one guy, and then I'll take your guy, and now I have enough to get points.
Do you remember the name of the promo card that we got?
It was called Lyra.
L-Y-R-A.
And she's holding up the 01
right.
card.
Well, I don't see it on eBay yet.
Okay. Well, it was just this weekend, so...
I mean, yeah, but if you're going to sell it, now's the time, right?
It is. That's true.
All right. Well, I'll stop planning how I'm going to finance. Oh, there it is. $30, zero bids. Buy it now, 45. All right.
Yeah. Well, I would. What I usually do is search for which ones have sold, and then, you know, see around that if there's any that are up for that, or put it up for less than the lowest one.
Yeah, well, that's the only one I see. All the other ones, there's nothing else finished, so only one person has put theirs up. I did see someone had put up a Discord or something, and it was like $500.
What?
The foil, the ultra rare foil, the set that's not out yet.
Oh, the royal rare or whatever, super extended. That makes sense because
it was all over the card. It was very well done as a foil. I could appreciate it as a foil. Or as an aluminum foil,
art.
As my daughter said.
Yeah, like no border whatsoever, just the extended art foil. And it's from the set that's not out yet, yeah. I'd be surprised if anybody buys it, but that's
so, here's a pre-release pin and a couple of foils going for $50 out of Canada. All right, well, I could do that. Like you said, that would recoup some of it.
So that's that should help, and then, you know, you'll have the cards...
Yeah. As long as we have one copy of everything, right?
Exactly. And that card is a rare in the set, so if you don't want if you don't care about the promo foil.
Yeah, fair enough. And there was a couple of the promos that she was able to bring down that she had in hard cases upstairs to, you know, add, because they all work together. She was very excited to find that out.
That's right.
All right, well, I'm sure we'll talk about more about this in the coming weeks. As someone said, playing My Little Pony, if you like card games, that's a good place to start because you like My Little Pony. She actually asked if we were going to watch another episode of Star Trek this week, which we did. Do you want to jump into that?
Sure.
All right.
That horrible, horrible episode. Well, I did want to say one last thing about the Pony Tournament. We were entertained that at least at the end we did it old Lord of the Rings style prizes where we opened the packs, two packs each, and pulled the rare on the top. And so at least with the Spike super rare foil out there,
I did get a dragon. Yes,
Dan got a dragon.
That did very well. I got a dragon, and the other card I got, my other foil or other rare, was a picture of someone holding up a 00 as a scorecard, and that's how I kind of felt at the end of the day. So there you go. I'm sure it'll go better if I beat Matt sometime. All right.
All right. Well, speaking of losing,
the magics of Magos 2.
Oh man!
All right. So I gotta say, number one, this episode felt like a full half hour, right? I didn't feel any, just slow pans of nothing happening. There was stuff being talked about and things going on all the time. Would you agree?
True.
All right.
I agree. There was no nonsense.
All right. And the first 20 minutes of this, or maybe 15 minutes of this, 20-minute episode, was someone must have just watched the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. Because the colors flashing everywhere, or either that or they were on the same drugs, because it was flashing things and waves of color and the Enterprise bouncing around and fireworks going off everywhere. It looked like one of the scenes in the Sea of Holes or whatever, where they were flying around, and it was amazing. And then that was after they had spouted out this random nonsense about going to the middle of the universe because that's where matter was being created. Okay, that was awful, but
yeah.
I found myself getting past it, except when they went back again and say, "Oh, look, matter's being created all around us." All right, the ship's getting hit now with matter.
No, oh, maybe we should put our shields up. Okay, sure.
Yeah, and then there was a big whirlwind, and they decided to go to the center, and then they disappeared in a flash of LSD, probably.
Maybe we should, if we should hope that this storm behaves like its atmospheric counterparts.
Yes.
You mean we should fly to the eye of the storm? I believe I just said that, Captain. And then they, speaking of the no-nonsense moving things along, Scotty, I don't know how much more we can take. Okay, eye of the storm. Scotty, how are we? Everything can be fixed, Captain. All right, moving on.
Everything can be fixed. I thought that was a great line.
Yep. That was it. Yep. Just right on.
Yep, we're good. And then, the people doing the art for this episode must have just had a field day, because they were drawing spirally galaxies, and this satyr guy, the guy with the torso of a human, horns, and then the body of a goat, or the lower half of a goat.
Yeah.
Every one of his muscles is drawn in every scene.
And, it really is.
Everyone else just stands there and their head moves, but he had his arms going everywhere. It was up and out, and my friends, and they were up high, and it was down low, and I was looking to see if they were using the same footage over and over again, but no, his arms were going to a different place every time with his hands outstretched. They put a lot of effort into drawing, Lucius? Those nice guys?
Lucian, yeah, or Lucian. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And, wow. I'm just looking at his picture on Memory Alpha now, and that's
so many muscles in weird places,
and no nipples.
And
wow, that's funny. It's just okay. So they went for they were his friend for a while, and they were partying on the surface, and they were partying somewhere else, and then he said, go talk to that guy, go talk to that guy. You want this? Go talk to that guy. Oh, by the way, don't talk to anybody and then go hide. Everyone back to the ship, quick.
Yeah, and they're like, what? Okay.
Yeah. So then we have Spock drawing a pentagram on the ground and then moving chess pieces with his mind, which, okay.
I didn't know how I felt about Spock being the first one on board with the using magic. because on the one hand, I could kind of get it. Okay, this is the new logic, and so I'm moving. I'm shifting my paradigm to match.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he'd be the one to say, "This is not logical. I'm going to bust a synapse here and just fall over." Yeah. That's tough. I don't know which way he should have gone. But that said, that led to something later on, which was, I think, epic.
Something.
They all got taken down to stocks, and they were all dressed, and then the rest of them were dressed as Puritans. And they were, you know, okay, you know, we went to go visit you, and then you burned us at the stake in the Salem witch trials. Ha ha ha. Now we're gonna put you on trial, and something's gonna happen. And then all of a sudden, there was some courtroom drama, you know, with Spock and Kirk and Lucifer, whatever his name is, you know, giving testimony, and then a great scene where he said, "These are all your records," and the tapes and the cards fly through the air. Now you've all read them.
Oh man,
that was great. I love that.
That was very counter at 4 point.
That scene was like, all right, we've got to pack all this information to get to everyone. We'll just have it fly by, and they're all smart. They read it. Okay, at this point.
Okay. Oh no, we don't like you. Oh wait, no. Okay, we believe you. Okay, you're free.
No,
except
no.
That guy.
No. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're free except for that guy. But then we have the most epic confrontation of all of Star Trek. We had Asmodeus versus Kirk in a wizard's duel. That was astounding. I laughed out loud.
Out of nowhere.
There was fire, and he put up in front of my fire, so Kirk makes it rain.
And then he was
over there, and then Kirk surrounds by thorns. And then it was fantastic. It was like maybe 30 seconds of epic... I call it epic. Just mage fight action. And then there was more talking, and it was boring again. And I said,
they stopped, and like I think the thing that was interesting about it was that every time they did something just ridiculous, and I'm on the verge of being like, just stop.
Yes.
No, I can't take it anymore.
Yes.
They come back around, and they're like, okay, wow, that almost made sense.
I can
see why you were going for.
Yeah. No, and then there was like, okay, this is okay. That's all, you know, it's all a test to see if you know you've gone past your ways, as you said, been very encounter far pointy. And then, well, we're on our way, and if anybody else shows up, you know, maybe we'll try to be nice to them. And then they're off. And everything's back to normal again, and everything's fixed. Because that's how, you know, episodes work back then.
No. Yeah. Quarantine beacon or erase their minds so they can't come back here.
So if I allow myself to get past, which is oddly enough, the weird science at the beginning that doesn't make any sense, everything after that point...
The magic makes more sense than the
science.
The
magic was fantastic. The whole thing was, moving things around and they're learning how to do it. It progressed really well. Everything flowed from scene to scene. I think this was the best written episode that we've seen so far.
Wow. I was going to say that's a bold statement, but it's really not that much of a statement. I don't know that I would go that far because the first half was so like, if they wanted to spend that much time on the second half, they could have just jumped in.
No. You got to spend all that trippy time setting the mood, man, to get to make the magic happen, so to speak.
But yeah, they're just the, oh God, okay, they're doing this. Well, that doesn't make, okay, that, okay. Or Kirk, how is Kirk like standing up against this supermaster magician? Oh, it's because he probably wasn't actually going all out. It was a test, and you know they just wanted to see how he would react.
No,
you know, and they're like, wait, what do you mean they visited and then they left? And it's like, oh no, okay, they were persecuted, and then they, you know, witches, I burn her. Okay, that I can almost get behind that. So. I don't know. It was a lot of emotional roller coaster of how much sense this was making.
All right,
for
me. Again, the very beginning with the if this is where the Big Bang was happening, we're going to go watch it make more matter. Okay, that does make sense to me, but then again, I'm not an astrophysicist. Maybe it makes more sense, or it did in the 60s. the rest of it, I found, actually flowed from spot to spot, and I've never said, why would they do... Okay, that makes sense. Okay, and then they're going here, and it kept my attention the whole time. There was no, you know, Scotty wasn't singing for way too long. Everything made sense to me, and I have to say that I actually think I enjoyed this more than anything we've seen before. It brought back memories of the Yellow Submarine, as I said, which I watched over and over as a kid. That all of the, for the most part, except maybe the Spock, I think that could be argued, all the characters were portrayed very true to their characters. I don't know, that weird bit with Sulu making up a strange woman.
That was a little, like,
oh. Uhura says, good luck.
That was pretty awesome. Uhura, I mean, good luck.
That was pretty funny. I would point to this episode as one that I would put pretty high. I don't know. And as soon as you had finished watching it, you sent me a note that said that was something. What did you say? Well, that was awful.
Or something like that. Yeah. Just, oh man.
Wow. That was awful. Yeah. That's what you said to me.
I didn't really, and the whole, again, I mean, I know there's only so many storylines and so many places you can explore, but a lot of these always feel like conglomerations of other Star Trek episodes. And so the barest hint of, oh, but he's Satan. Oh, we don't care. I'm going to fight for him anyway. Wait, what? All right. You know, sure, Kirk goes on because, you know, he's like, well, we don't know that he's Satan. You don't have to tell. All I know is that he's a creature and he is in trouble and you shouldn't punish him like that because he was just being, you know, curious or whatever. But all of the, that one very much felt like another point that we like hit on and then we're like, okay, we could have done more with that and we're not sure. You know, I very much felt like some of them want to be like, and so was Merlin, and this guy was, you know, Nostradamus, they don't want to have time to get into that.
I chalk that up to, if this were an hour long episode, we probably would have gotten a little bit more character development from all the other random, Megas and two guys, whatever. But you know, they packed in a lot. It was just a whirlwind of entertainment for me. I had a good time. So, like I said, I'd give this one as many stars as I could. You know, I would give this the full 5 out of 5. This is probably one that I would make sure you watch if you're going to dive in. Make sure you don't skip it. There were a couple of iconic looking scenes I thought would make great cards, like them all in the stocks. That make a great dilemma, you know. We've already kind of had a bunch of Kirk on trial looking things, so you know that wouldn't be. But that. Lucian in standing in the middle of the bridge, or them all drinking at the very end, they're all toasting.
On another of my favorite human traditions, a toast.
Kirk and Spock just knocking back a big tankard of whatever that was.
oh man,
I was entertained.
Yeah, I if you really wanted to, you know, head first into the flavor of this episode, I feel like we need a 1E style. You know, undo your 8th churn ago, or, you know, rearrange all of the dilemmas here, or, you know, the space line of this, you know, quadrant.
Maybe you could do something with that whole, you know, logic doesn't work, but magic does thing, you know, cunning is integrity, and integrity is cunning, and strength is integrity, or something. You just switch all three of the attributes around so that, you know, someone who's super integrity is not so strong or something. Anyway, I thought it was fun. There was one other topic. Are we good? Shall we move on? I think we've probably covered it.
I think we've covered it.
I want to say there was one other topic for this. Do you know what it was?
Tournament next week?
Second edition next week. So I've got a deck that I was going to play at Continentals, and I had too much Pathfinder fun, so I didn't. I'm thinking about taking the same thing. What do you have, or something made? Are you planning on not going because it's second edition?
Well, I think you may want to rethink which deck you're playing, because I'm looking at the site right now, and it says that it's first edition this week.
Wait, what?
Second edition was last week.
Oh. Well, that changes things dramatically, doesn't it?
It would, I would think. And it also heavily influences my participation.
Wow, thank you for letting me know, because I probably would have showed up with a second edition deck and been very sad. Wow.
I wasn't sure if you misspoke the first time around. I was going to bring it up at the end, but I did. Since you said to me again,
no, I was totally
make sure.
I was totally, and it says 1E tournament right there. All right, no, I was totally up for second edition. Wow, I got to change gears now. Okay.
So just take a moment. Do you have something built from Worlds, like you said, with 2E?
Yeah.
Or Continentals, yeah.
I wasn't looking forward to playing it then either. No, I'll put that together and try it out, because that would have been fun. And it's something that I needed to do anyway, just for background. So I will do that. I will put that together and test it out and see how it feels. So hope that you get paired up with me in the first round, because I'll be learning how to play this deck.
Okay. Well, this weekend is the last weekend before Dragon Con, which historically means I will be frantically putting costume pieces together.
How are you feeling this year?
I have the advantage of my only costume that's left is kind of largely purchased pieces and not making a lot of things. But I need to weather the crap out of it. It's for Mad Max, so I literally need to go out and chain my jacket to the back of my car and drive donuts around a gravel parking lot for a couple hours. And I need to find time to do that. The weekend may be the only time I can.
Sure.
But if I can do it early on Saturday, I might be able to come out. I do still have a deck built. I think I took a deck to Gen Con just in case, so I may bring that. Or at any rate, I'm sure by the time the evening rolls around, I will need a break for like an hour to come by for Tribbles. So.
Yeah, because we'll be playing with Tribbles, and that sounds like something I need to do as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. Then let's do that. Let's play Star Trek this weekend. We'll play first edition, we'll play Tribbles, and maybe you'll drive over your jacket, and maybe... maybe I'll just make it for Tribbles. But one way or the other, we will both be there for Tribbles. Agreed?
Agreed.
Fantastic. All right. I handed off all the World stuff to Charlie this weekend, so it can be shipped off. Have the World's promos been revealed yet?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, there you go. maybe we'll see that soon. All right, then if there's nothing else, why don't we just wrap it up and not talk for 2 hours like we have been in the past?
We have many times, but that's all the intelligence we have this week, a little bit shorter. Next time we will have at least a Tribbles tournament report, if not a 1E tournament report, and another episode of the animated series. In the meantime, I am Sir Rope.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your pony in the universe.
Oh, we'll draw to end. Run, you cannot hide and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31.